Country, Lord. Father, we say, have your way. We say, have your way, Father God, in every detail of our lives. Hallelujah. Coming together, just coming soft. Hallelujah.
Have your way.
Have your way.
need you, Lord, have your way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yahweh, we bow down and worship Yahweh. We bow down.
You deserve all the glory, all the honor. And even when we praise you and honor you and adore you, it doesn't even come close to matching all that you deserve. All people in the earth, all creation, all of the angels, every being that is, if we all bowed down and worshiped you, it will still not equal what you deserve. And so we are awed by the very fact that that which we offer is received. It is like the wealthiest of us bringing a penny to one who is worth trillions. And that penny is the very best of all that we collectively have. Yet you receive it. And you appreciate it. And you say, I treasure this. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for accepting us and accepting our best, even though it is so meager of worship. Thank you. Thank you for helping us, providing for us, empowering us to succeed. Thank you for granting to us all that we need to live life to the full. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is so good to see you all this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. We're studying through the book of Proverbs. We've been doing this for months now, but we're in the sixth chapter. And maybe by this time next year we'll be done with Proverbs. If not, we'll keep on going. But my earnest desire, hope, aspiration, and prayer is that we all be changed supernaturally as we study this book together. Changed spiritually, changed emotionally, physically, financially, relationally, changed in every way that matters, because we do need that. The one thing that is a constant is change. But change happens in two different ways. It can be positive change or negative change. But as we study the Word of God, let it be positive. Let God take every form of corruption out of our lives so that we are truly incorruptible. Amen? Praise God. Well, we started with chapter 6 and we got up to verse 11. And what we have gleaned so far from chapter 6 is that God doesn't want us to be sluggish, slothful. For example, it says in verse 4, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. In essence, saying, being slothful and sluggish is what is going to entrap you in life. But if you are not, then just like a roe, an antelope, a deer escapes from the hunter, and a bird from the snare, you'll escape whatever agenda the enemy has for you. The Word of God says God won't allow us to be tempted beyond that which we are able to bear, but will provide a way of escape. Now, that way of escape is that which He provides for us. But may I suggest that that way of escape sometimes can be in the place of prayer. Not prayer out of worry. That's a different thing altogether. You can stay up praying out of worry, and that will not be an act of faith. But you can stay up praying because you want to hear from God. And God, because you're acknowledging Him, will direct your path. So it tells us, going further, it says, go check out the ant. The ant, they don't have a leader, they don't have an overseer, they don't have a guide. But because they know order, because they work, they are able to accomplish much. And God challenges us not to be slothful people, to be people who are focused, who know what it is they need to do, and do not allow anything else to stop them. Now, before we go deeper, because it tells us, for example, in verse 10, it says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. In essence, you will lose control. And part of that is from not being disciplined and focused. Mama and I travel quite a bit. At least we did that more often pre-COVID. And there's some realities that come to bear when you are traveling. You have your ticket. But your ticket does not guarantee that you're going to fly. All things in proper order, your ticket should give you the time your flight is going to take off, your seat number, all of that. Now, let's say your flight is supposed to leave at 7 a.m. Because of 9/11, You're required to be there possibly 2 hours before time. Let's push it. You decide, I'm flying first class, I'm flying business class, I'm flying whatever class, and I don't need to go through the main line that everybody else is going through. I'll go there 1 hour. Well, that's really pushing it, because the cutoff time, if it is local, is 30 minutes before the flight leaves. You should be checking in. Your bag should be in. So you're coming 2 hours before time. And you happen to see some friends all chatting and talking and having a nice time. You have a flight to catch. You know what? If you're smart, you might say, hi, bye, and go on. Or else, you get to the counter and they will tell you, sorry, cut off time, you can't fly. But at the same time, while you see people that are not going where you are going, they're not going where you're going, you've cut them off. There's somebody else that you see coming and heading to the airport and to the counter. You don't know this person. The reality is that you will go in the same direction with them into that airport. Would that be right? Because they're going in the same direction that you're going. The reality is that so many times, sluggishness is not about you not doing something. It's about doing the wrong thing. Sluggish people sometimes are busy doing the wrong thing. Sleep is good, and it's necessary. And the word of God says in Psalm 127, says, God gives his beloved sleep. But sleeping at the wrong time, when it is not a focus on destiny, is something that's going to make you lose your flight. Sorry. You're not going to arrive at your destination. Because, like it or not, with or without you, the plane is going to take flight when it's ready to go off. And if you're not there, you have to wait for another flight. And it's imperative for us as believers to not miss the opportunities that God gives to us. We've got to focus and know the rhythm of how things are swinging, to know when to jump to the next thing that's going to carry us where we ought to be. To not be focused is being lazy. You have to be focused. Now, when you get on that plane, you must understand that the first thing that's going to happen is you have to find your seat, where you belong, where you've been set apart for, what your portion is. Are you in 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D? Where are you supposed to sit? How do you find that? You find out from your ticket. Your ticket is the word of God that has been spoken to you. Everyone that is here today has a seat, has a particular place God wants them to be. You find your seat, you buckle yourself in. Bible calls it being steadfast. If you're not being steadfast, you've been lazy. And steadfastness is a discipline of the mind. Now, when you are all buckled in and seated, you do understand that the hostesses and hostess or host who are not flying the plane, they're just there to check on things, make sure every box is in the right place and fit properly, shut everything down. And the next thing, not as necessary nowadays, but the next thing that happens is they advise you to shut off your cell phones. No outside communication. Just focus on what we're going to do here. We don't want any interference in frequencies. That is part of you operating in discipline. Discipline in yourself. Knowing what to listen to and what not to listen to. The plane takes off. But nobody comes to serve you drinks or give you snacks or whatever else, except if you're on first class. But generally, nobody gives you anything. Why? Because they don't start serving until they get to a particular altitude. And in life, if you are looking for quick reciprocal attention, entertainment, whatever else, without coming to the right altitude, you may want to bail out. You get frustrated. Why are they not giving me food yet? I'm hungry. Nobody's going to give you food at that time. They're going to give it to you when you get to the right altitude and the seatbelt sign has been removed. And if there's a turbulence in the air, they stop serving you. So you have to wait. So, Pastor, what does this all have to do with what we're talking about here, about being lazy, sleeping, and all of that? Because basically, why many times people sleep is because they are bored or they are tired. If you're tired, you need to be refreshed. If you're bored and go to sleep, ask yourself this very pertinent question. Why am I bored? The chances are you're bored because you're not engaged in what you're supposed to be doing at this particular time. So when you're getting bored, ask yourself this question: what am I supposed to be doing? What has God called me to? How am I supposed to handle it right now? It's like I just raised. I don't know why my mic is doing what it's doing right now. It's one of the most important things that you have to be careful about. Because bored people do crazy things. They begin to act naughty. I remember many years ago, this is the first time I'm going to talk about this. I've never said this to the hearing of anybody. I was ministering, and the word of the Lord came to me and pointed out somebody in the service. Pointed out somebody else in the service. See that person there? I said, yeah. See that person there? Said, yeah. He said, they are bored. I said, oh. What does that have to do with me? Why are you telling me about that? He said, if they don't break away from their boredom, they are going to become lesbians. I'm preaching, I'm hearing this, and I froze for a moment. Huh? What are you talking about? You say, yes, they're going to start experimenting. I say, oh, Lordy, Lordy, I know these two people. They are no longer part of this church. That freaked me out. Because when people lose focus and sight, they start acting crazy. Know where you are, know your focus. Buckle yourself in. Know that you're not going to be satisfied right away when you start doing anything, just like that plane is taking flight. Know that when you get to the right altitude, the hostess is going to come and ask you, what would you like to drink? What would you like to eat? They're going to bring the snacks. You may not have to ask for it. It's going to come. Reward will come at the right time. Know that while you're traveling, there's a chance there's going to be a turbulence. That happens. And when there's turbulence, you're going to be asked to buckle back in. When you have disturbance around you, don't be sluggish. Buckle back on. Oh, I'm putting myself in bondage. No. It's not bondage. It is staying secure. And by the way, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't walk out of that plane. Just buckle in. sluggishness, laziness, slothfulness is about you and I not responding to what is happening right now. How do I respond to this situation? Be wise. Because the next statement becomes relevant. Remember, in chapter 5, we spent all the time talking about morality, right? Okay. Then we start talking about being sluggish. And watch what is going to happen now. It says in verse 12, a naughty person. It's the same word for Belial. A wicked man walketh with a froward mouth. A naughty person. A naughty person. A wicked man. A froward mouth. That's a perverse mouth. A proud, arrogant mouth. That mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. All three things are means of communication. He winketh with his eyes. Remember what we talked about when we're talking about immorality. We said what? It was the what? The words, the talk, the speech. Now, he's leading back to something. He winked with his eyes. The wicked man winked. He's communicating something. He speaketh with his feet, the direction that he's going. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. That perverseness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually, and he soweth discord. What is the word of God saying? Watch what is being said, the looks that are being given, the walk that is being displayed, all of that. If you want to define that naughty, wicked person, watch how he's communicating. Notice, it didn't say he was saying anything. It was his mannerisms, the actions. That is what is determining the speech. But the word of God says, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Who is this person? The naughty, wicked person. That's how I'm going to deal with that person. I'm going to deal with it. This person that is bringing deception into people's lives, I'm going to deal with it. So now, the Word of God begins to state out so that we can know what this wickedness looks like. Tells us. The ones that I'm going to break without remedy, these ones that are naughty, these ones that are wicked, let me tell you what they look like. These six things doth the Lord hate. God hates six things. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Seven things are an abomination of that seven, six he definitely hates. A proud look, God says, carrying yourself in arrogance. I hate that. You're going to be broken without remedy. A lying tongue. I hate that. It's an abomination. Revelation, I think it's 21:8, says, and all liars shall be thrown into that lake of fire. All liars. God hates lies. What does God love? Truth. Why do we lie? We lie because we make man an idol. So, what do you mean? Well, if you know that God sees and God knows, and you're supposed to be subject to him, and he tells you not to lie, then because you're subject to him, you tell the truth, no matter what the consequences. But because you don't believe that God has consequences, you trade that in fear of present consequences if you were to tell the truth. If I tell the truth, they're going to throw me in jail. For how long? 2 years? 3 years? Compare that to eternity. Are we together? Okay. So God hates lies because you are putting somebody or something over and above him. You don't believe him. So he hates lies. Hands that shed blood, innocent blood, disqualified. And hands that shed innocent blood. So I hate that. It's an abomination. He didn't do anything to you. You're going there and doing that? I hate that. It's an abomination. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Oh, yes. I hate that. You're sitting down there, plotting on how you're going to do this and do that, not for the well-being and good of another. You're going to do that? You're going to shed innocent blood like Hamas did? You're going to devise wicked imaginations like Hamas did? Feet that be swift in running to mischief. God says, I hate that. That's an abomination. You just, shoom! You're just right there to do mischievous things. I hate that. A false witness that speaketh lies. How many times now do we have lies? Two times. Yeah? So you must recognize that is a no-no with God. You're a false witness. You were not there. You said, I was there, this, and so on. False witness. This guy didn't do anything wrong, but you are agreeing with his accuser that they did something wrong, but you were not there. You didn't see it. But you are making sure that somebody is in bondage, bearing false witness. False witness because you made some assumptions. What other reason would he have been there other than that's what he did there? Were you there? Do you know? Don't be affirming things that you don't know anything about. And he that sowed discord among brethren. How many times is that now? 2 times. You just create confusion. And people are separated. You've created disunity. God says, I hate that. That's an abomination. And then he says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now there's been 3 things that I've been saying in the book of Proverbs. God keeps on hammering in. There is a 4th one. I've not mentioned it to you. I wonder who might be able to give me that 4th one. We know about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But what's the 4th one that keeps on coming back on and 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 on? It's right from the very first chapter. Huh? Thank you. Honor. Honor. If you've not been getting it all this time, it's been there steadily. It's been repeated in so many different ways. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. If you do that, what will that be? You're honoring. This is a key to long life, to longevity, to living a wholesome life. Honor. By keeping the word of God, by keeping the words of your father and your mother, whether they be natural or spiritual parents, what are you being taught? When you honor your father and you honor your mother, you do that which is pleasing. He says, do that. He says, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. Huh? When thou sleepest? I thought we're not supposed to sleep. No, when you sleep with honor. Even in your sleep, the word of God that you're honoring will keep you. And when thou awakest, it shall do what? Talk with thee. The word of God. So wisdom, knowledge, understanding, honor, the word of God. You see that? Honoring the word of God. Honoring the teachings of your father and your mother. He says it will talk with you. When you're trying to make the wrong decisions, the voice of God. will speak. Now the issue is whether you are willing to obey that word that you've been taught, or the word has been spoken to you, that's talking to you, or you reject it. But the reality is, when you follow God and you are full of His Word, He will speak to you. He always does. Have you ever been in a situation when something went wrong and you said, I knew it. Something was telling me. Something was telling me not to do this, not to go here, not to do that. But you decided not to listen. And now you say, I knew it. I knew it. I shouldn't have. Well, when you walk in obedience with God, less and less and less of that will happen. You will not walk into a trap of the enemy. Somehow God will show you what to do and you'll circumvent it. Mercy will guide you. He says, for the commandment is a lamp, the word of God. The commandment of God is a lamp, and the law is light. Watch this. For the commandment is a lamp. If I had a lamp here and there was no light in it, is it still a lamp? Okay, because the lamp is not the light. And the word of God says the commandment of God is the structure called the lamp. But the word of God is the light that will show you. What is then the commandment, and how is the commandment different from the light or from the law? Because we know the law is the word of God, but the commandment is also the word of God. When we say the Ten Commandments, we'll say things like, thou shalt not. It's a commandment, but it's the law. What's the difference between the law and the commandment? The commandment is, listen to this, a commandment because it is coming from a designated authority. That authority being God. That's why it's a commandment. I'm commanding you to do this. Based on what I said, you obey it, you obey the commandment. You have the structure. So on the basis of the authority of God, who God is, the commander. Commandment, commander. You get it? If you got it, wave at me. Okay, all right. I see all those hands. But the law that is given by the commander, whose commandment you have to obey, is the word of God, and that word of God is light. So the word of God gives you clarity. So when you want to do anything, you've got to bring the light of God to the situation to give you a sense of placement, Light reveals the placement of things. Light reveals what is there. Hello? Is that what light does? If this place where was the lights were out, you will not know what's in here. So light, are you ready for this? Light helps you to have priorities. What is important? What is most important? Everything is important, but what should I do first? Going back to my flight motif, if there's turbulence and all of a sudden the oxygen mask drops, because one of the first things they tell you when you get on that plane after you've buckled in and before that flight takes off, they tell you about the different things that you need to do. And one of them is that if we have a situation and the pressure in the plane changes, there's going to be these things are going to drop down. And the first thing they tell you is this. Before, even if you have a child with you, put on your own mask first, then help the other person. You know the problem? Some of us are trying to help people when we don't have our feet stable. It's like a two-year-old trying to pull a 200-pound man out of a well. That's not going to happen. But I tell you what can make it happen. If you have the necessary tools, and the principles of leverage that make things easier to work with, pulleys, stuff like that can make somebody that's lighter pull somebody that's heavier out. So you've got to know what tools you've got. What tools do I have? And how can I best activate them for the well-being of everybody? Let me give it a wrap. Everything that we've been talking about so far, it's leading back to chapter 6 or chapter 5. It says, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And reproofs of instruction. If you are living your life and there's no longer any instruction coming through from God, or through men and women of God that God has placed alongside of you, you're in trouble. There is not a point in your life that you are beyond being spoken to. I'm never going to be there. Now, whoever it is that's speaking to me must understand on the basis of light how they talk to me. You don't talk to me like you talk to your son when I'm your pastor. Talk to me like somebody on the street. No matter what the situation is, you got to, in the presence of the light of the Word of God, you got to talk to me differently. Now, if somebody in this house, a leader in this house, does something wrong, I will not publicly start chastising them and rebuking them and belittling them before others. That is not what the Word of God teaches. Except if that individual has crossed a line, they are not listening, or they have become disrespectful to somebody else, belittling somebody else, then you have to speak to that. The Lord will also rebuke when you've allowed a commendation is given to you to go to your head publicly. Because he hates a froward mouth, and he will cut you to size. One moment, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh yeah, Peter, no one else revealed this to you but my Father. And the next little moment, Peter thinks, I got it. And Jesus is talking about going to the cross and comes and says, I rebuke you. That's not going to happen. Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. Know your place. Just know your place. My spiritual father, I miss him. Anyway, he's a great man of God, an incredible man of God. I heard a testimony recently. He had gone to a country. He was Tanzania to minister the Word of God. And the Satanists and warlocks and practitioners of witchcraft, every one of them were instructed to leave the city. Go 70 miles away and stay there. And when the man has left, don't even come back for, I think, about 3 weeks or something. Stay away. Don't be anywhere around this city. 70 miles, go. All of you, leave. They were instructed. Who was the man that came to town? My papa came to town. He dismantled it. Anything that was not of God was getting dismantled. Hallelujah. They were instructed, go 70 miles away. And don't come back after weeks. Let things settle down before you come back. You come back inside this territory, fire is going to catch you. You're going to be finished. That was a man. That's a man of God. My Lord. 70 miles. Stay out of town because this man is coming. Ah. And he had it. You know, I was busy preaching and teaching some stuff, and You know, I've not heard him talk about anything like that. You know, I just sit down there and just celebrate. And one day, I'm listening to messages that he preached like 30, 40 years ago. I say, what? This man knew this 40 years ago? He knew this 50 years ago, 60 years ago? Don't on me. We've done ourselves a great disservice because we've not listened to the instructions of fathers. We think we know. I was pastoring Albright Church. It used to be on Church and Mackenzie. As an assistant pastor there. And the way it worked was when it was your turn to preach, you took care of the whole service. You get hymns and whatever else that the congregation will sing. And to my greatest surprise, this amazing revelation that I had from God that I was going to teach the people, as I was opening the hymn books, Newton in 17 whatever knew the same truth. And I'm saying, help me, God, what is going on here? How is it that they knew this stuff 200-300 years ago, and I'm getting it as revelation now because nobody taught me? We did not continue with the truth. Look at the world. Just look at the world and see what they do with truth. They build upon precept because they get the truth, they challenge it to make sure that it is solid, and they build on the truth that they have acquired. And today, I can be here. And if I want to see what's happening in Jerusalem at the prayer wall right now, I can go right here on my laptop or on your phone, type it in, and lo and behold, right now I'll be seeing what's happening in Jerusalem from Winnipeg. How does that happen? I grew up with, you know, matchsticks or milk cans and putting a rope, you know, connection. Did you guys do that too? Oh my Lord, how old we are. Our youth is renewed. And the other person is over there and hello? And then they say, I hear you. To cell phones, and the person is on the other side of the world. Building. Today we're talking about AI. It's the same concept, just been built, on and on and on. Same thing, application. And God is calling us, hey, take my word, apply it, listen to it. Don't be proud, don't be arrogant. Those are things that are going to cause you not to come into my best. You just have a little anointing on your life. You know, the days that I used to, think, you know, when you lay hands on people and you fall over, that's it. That's when you're anointed. Then it dawned on me. No, that's not it. People should be able to just receive it by faith, not because they fell over. You fell over with the power of God, you come back up and you're still the same old person, just a little bit electrified. What nonsense. It's about a changed life. That's what's important. Amen? And it leads us to verse 24, and I end with this. I'm not going to comment much to it. It says, to keep thee, all of those things we just talked about, whether it be Don't be a sluggish person, lazy person, unfocused person, not disciplined. All of those things. Not having a froward mouth, being a liar. All of those things. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Stop hanging around people that are busy winking your eyes. Like they have Tourette's or something. Huh? Walking. Look at where he's walking. The Lord already told you, don't even know the woman's address. But he's walking towards that address, and you're following him. Follow. Don't be doing that. Because if you do that, you're going to end up with the evil woman. With the flattery of the tongue of this strange woman. That's where you're going to end. And that is ultimately going to contaminate you. Because, you see, every other sin is outside of you. Every other sin is outside of you. But the sin of fornication and adultery, you become one with. There's a soul tie. You're going to embrace the wickedness of that life in you. You're going to bring all kinds of calamity into your life. So don't go there. Well, I wasn't physically engaged. Were you lusting with your eyes, with your heart? Are you into pornography? You'd same thing. Because fornication comes from the word porneia. From where we get to, through which we get the word pornography, porneia. So you're dabbling with pornography. You're already with the evil woman. Oh, I don't think they have those magazines anymore, but they used to have them. Playboy. I don't think I've seen that Playboy anywhere. They used to sell them in all kinds of funny places. You know, the joke was, you know, I buy Playboy for the literature, for the writing. What a joker. Listen. Save yourself. People who don't listen, who become arrogant, prideful. I'm so anointed. They end up with the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Oh, man of God. Oh, you were such a blessing to me. Oh, what a blessing you are. Meanwhile, your wife says, you might be pastor over there, but in this house, don't pastor here. Yeah. yeah. No. And this woman is saying, oh, you bless my heart. Guess what? With your flattery, proud, arrogant self, a strange woman's flattery will mess your life up. And that has happened to so many because they don't understand. This is the doing of God. If God uses me, it is because of His grace. There's nothing I'm going to do to make it happen. All He wants me to do is to be surrendered to Him, to trust Him. If He can speak to a donkey, He can speak to anybody. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that God has granted me to be able to sit here and talk with you and talk to the world. To do anything. Because every day I come to understand, it's God, not me. If this congregation explodes to thousands and millions of people around the world, well, the reason it happened is because I was faithful and I was steadfast and I was hush up already. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, it is Christ that lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's all about him. I can do nothing. Jesus, our Lord, in John 14 says, he says, Son and himself can do nothing. It is the Father, he doeth the works. And in that one moment, he said, you know, when that blind man saw, that was not me. It was the Father that did it. If the Lord Jesus Christ says that, who are you? I'm so anointed because I prayed for 50 hours straight. That's why I'm so anointed. Keys to being anointed. Pray for 50 hours. Where's the verse? Should you pray? Absolutely. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. It says, give no room to the devil. Resist him and he will flee. How? Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will then lift you up. Amen? Praise God. We'll start out from 24 next time we come together. Friday's prayer meeting. I look forward to seeing you. Continue to pray for Operation Full House and continue to act accordingly. For faith without works is dead. Invite, invite, invite. God will make us greater and greater. Amen? Praise the Lord. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we receive your word. We're transformed by it. We're renewed by it. Lord, help us to be conduits of hope, conduits, O God, of fruitfulness, agents of good, and agents, O God, of your loving kindness and tender mercies to the world. Help us never to be a casualty as you lead us step by step, day by day, to live our lives in honor of your name. Help us to choose right all the time and to shun evil all the time. Provide for us, meeting our every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. In Jesus' name we decree it so done. Amen. May we honor God with our giving, and may we continue to grow in the things of God forever. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming. Bless you, Sister Sybil, for participating tonight. Celebrate the goodness of God in your life. Those of you that are on YouTube and Facebook, do understand that we no longer stream our prayer services on YouTube or Facebook. You'll have to go on the Zoom line to participate. We'll give you the Zoom link so that you can note it and join us on Zoom for the prayer meetings this Friday. Thank you once again, Sister Patsy. Sibyl, bless you. Amen. Good night. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord.